Hey, BA fam, this episode is sponsored by State Farm. Are you a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers, they're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
It's time for the B-A-Q-A, A, the B-A-Q-A, what you say? The B-A-Q-A with Tiffany, the B-A-Q-A, no mandate, the B-A-Q-A, A. It's time for a Brown Ambition question to answer. Will you have questions? Myself and Mandy, when she's here, has answers. Mandy's baby is not feeling so well. He was, if you want to see, he made a little debut on our Wednesday show, but he just could not make it for the Friday show. So it's just me today. But if you have questions about personal finance, about career, about money, about business entrepreneurship, just life even, go ahead and slide in the DMs on our IG, Brown Ambition Podcast, or email us at brownambitionpodcast@gmail.com. Because Mandy's not here, you know, I love when Mandy's, well, I don't love when Mandy's not here, but I love when she is not here to do questions about business. Because y'all don't be asking me enough business questions, and I love to talk about business. And so I pulled some questions from my mentees. So y'all know, like, I teach mentees. I have a mentee program. Let me see how many people are my mentees right now. I could tell you real quick. I could tell you better than I could show you. I think I want to say it's about 4,000. 4,400 mentees currently signed up under my Patreon, mymentortiffany.com. Most of them are women, especially women of color, especially Black women, although I don't turn anyone away. And every month I teach a class, but every week they have meetups. They get them. I give them tips and tools and lessons. It's been awesome. So like I said, it's about 4,000 mentees. Currently, as I'm taping, it's $20 a month. It will not be $20 a month by the end of this year. I promise you that. But if you lock in, you lock in. My mentor, Tiffany, if you want to be one of my mentees. And so questions get asked to me about money all the time. So I felt like, you know what? Let's talk about it. So one question that comes up a lot is, how do you fund a business, especially when you first start out? I actually taught this lesson to my mentee. Last month's lesson was literally, how do you fund a business? And I identified four ways to fund a business. So if you have a pen and pad, this would be great for you to start writing down, okay? So let's talk about the four ways to self-fund your dream business, okay? So number one is to generate revenue early. So what do I mean by that? So you're going to focus on building a minimum viable product, MVP. So one of my friends, Danielle Leslie, always talks about this, or like a basic version of your product or service. So this is going to allow you to test the market with minimal investment. So what do I mean? Lots of people will say, like, oh my gosh, this is dress. Everyone tells me the dress I'm wearing is so cute. I am going to manufacture this dress. You know, you scrounge together some money. Maybe you work overtime and you scrounge together $5,000, $10,000 to print, you know, get the dress made. And now you have all these dresses and now you have to sell them. You don't want to do that. You want to think like a marketer. A marketer would say, I'm going to make one dress. I'm going to pick my cutest friend and say, girl, put this dress on so I can post you on the socials. And I'm going to take pre-orders for this dress because it's in the pre-ordering. So let's just say, you know, I don't know, 1,000 people pre-ordered the dress and the dress is, $10. So now you've made $10,000 and now you can use that money. This is a way to self-fund you printing that dress. Use that money to go make the dresses and you don't have to make any more, any less because you know exactly how many people want them. So generating early revenue is a great way to do pre-orders or pre-sales of your product. I did that for my book, Happy Birthday, Molly Moore. So some of y'all know I wrote a children's book. And I remember, like, I want to say it cost me like $4 or $5 to print each book and also maybe like another $3 to mail them. And I was like, oh, child, it's going to be a lot of money. And so what I did was a Kickstarter, you know, to kind of like to do that early. And so we made $70,000 in Kickstarter, and I was able to print and ship books as a result of that. So number one, to self-fund your own business is to generate revenue early by creating whatever the cheapest way to create a product or service, and to create a pre-order, pre-sales wait list, something that's going to generate some revenue before fully launching the business, right? This is going to not only provide you with like early validation of your business idea, but generate some cash flow to fund your future development and growth. Okay. Does that make sense? Like I said, some of the things you can use like a tool for that is like a Kickstarter, or there's also these like, you know, there's these GoFundMes, or like Indiegogo is one, or just take, like I said, take pre-orders of whatever the product or service is, you know, get people excited. You have to create a landing page. Yeah. So generate revenue early by saying, here's something I'm creating. And a really great book for that is this book called Launch, L-A-U-N-C-H by Jeff Walker, because he is really the king of kind of like this, like generating buzz and excitement beforehand, making money, and then delivering that service or product later.
Hey, BA fam, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. And now a word from our sponsors at Betterment. All right, BA fam, you know we work hard and we play hard, but when it comes to investing and having your money in the market, you want your money to be working for you. That's exactly what the Betterment Automated Investment and Savings app can help it do. Keeps your money out there working hard and kicking you know what. I love Betterment because it makes it easy for even a beginning investor to figure out how to put their money in the market and set it and forget it and be at peace with that, because you know Betterment has got you covered with their automated investment and savings app. Their technology is going to give you advanced tools that are built to help you maximize those returns. All you got to do is visit Betterment.com to get started. Learn more about high yield cash accounts at Betterment.com. Investing involves risk. Performance not guaranteed. Cash reserve offered through Betterment LLC and Betterment Securities. Betterment is not a bank. Hey, BA fam, this episode is sponsored by State Farm. Are you a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers, they're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
Number two of self-funding your own business is to be your own bank via investing. And so investing in the stock market in particular, you could fund your business, can honestly be a viable strategy. I've seen people do this. It's important to approach it with careful consideration though and planning, because it's not something that you can just like, you know, jump out the window and do. Stock market investing can be key to generating business capital you need. So there are many ways to invest, but few as passively than the stock market. So for example, one of my friends, she first started investing because she wanted to pay for vacations. So while she was a vice principal of a school, my friend Terry, she would say, okay, I want to go on this vacation. It's going to cost me $1,000. And she had learned to invest from her grandmother when she was in high school. So she would invest, buy something, watch it, sell it, and be like, oh my gosh, I made $1,000. Now I can go on vacation. And so, but she quickly realized through that, she could also use that to fund her business. And so Terry is currently my investing coach. What I love about Terry is that one, she went to MIT, so she's super smart, but also two, that she was a vice principal in education for 10 years. And she's been investing for over 20 years. And thus far, she's taught about 35,000 students how to invest. Some of them have made $1,000 in a day, $10,000 in a day, some of her students, not every day, but in a day. And I have seen Terry herself. She did it publicly. She did like a live once where she actually made twice, two or three times she's done this, that she made a trade that made her $1 million with that one trade. She took 300,000. I think that it was with Disney or Amazon. She took 300,000, made a trade, which is when you buy a stock and then you sell it and made $1 million from that $300,000. I was like, sold. And so I know that the Budgetista has made me a significant amount of money. Y'all know I've grown wealth for myself, but it's been quite the grind. And so what happens when I no longer want to do the business part of business? I asked my friend who was investing in real estate the same. And he was like, essentially, he would have to sell his properties and then put his money to work in the market. And so what I want to do is before I get overworked and overwhelmed with the Budgetista, is I want to learn how to navigate the market now. So I can fund the things I want to fund, the business being one of them. Last year was a really, really, really hard year. I went from, you know, making multiple six figures to basically multiple seven figures to in one business to barely making, I think I made like 800,000 in one of my businesses when normally I made multiple seven. I'm sorry. And so imagine if I was proficient in investing in the marketplace, because last year the marketplace generated, I think was up 24 to 26%. So business was down, market was up. So imagine if I was proficient in that, I could have said, even though business is down, we're going to be all right because I'm in the market intentionally to fund my business. And so that's why I told myself, this is the year, because last year, quite honestly, was scary. I didn't know if I was going to make it. Talking about the whole Budgetista. I wasn't sure if I was going to make it. And so we did, but a lot of my friends didn't make it. And I thought to myself, okay, investing is a way to be my own bank. You know, because I'm not getting external funding, but I could be my own bank. And so one of the resources I offer up to you is that if you want to be your own bank, this is actually like this opportunity closes in like just a couple of days because today's Friday. And I think Sunday, the doors close. I partnered with Terry, my investment coach. She has this 5-day live investing masterclass. So I'm excited about it. And these 5 days, you're going to learn how to understand the stock market day one, all about indexes. Day two, this is what allows you to invest more passively. Day three, how to open a brokerage account, the exact account that you're going to need to invest. Day four, to buy your first stock. We're going to buy our first stock. If you don't have any money to buy your first stock, that's okay. We can do it paper with, you can do simulation. And day five, we're going to sell our first stock. And so it's this 5-day investing masterclass. And what I decided to do is because I want company in doing this 5-day masterclass that I added bonuses on top of Terry. So Terry has like, if you just want to do the live class, April 15th to the 19th, Monday through Friday, 2 hours every day, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, it's $97. If you want the replay and to get an extra bonus day with extra interviews as well, then it's $294, I believe. And that gives you the replay access for 6 months and all these other bonuses. I'm stacking bonuses on top of those bonuses. And because I really want people to do it alongside with me. And at budgetnistastockbonuses.com, if you sign up for the class there, I'm going to give you an ebook. If you sign up for the $97 version, so like general admission, I'm going to give you two ebooks, one on learning to earn, one on investing. I'm going to give you 1 month free to my online school, the Literature Academy. I'm going to give you access to a pop-up Facebook group that we're all going to work together while Terry is teaching. And I'm also going to do a live class, a learn to earn class. That's like $1,000 worth of value for anybody who does VIP that we'll do it together because I'm trying to bribe y'all to do it alongside me. And so that's at budgetnistastockbonuses.com. The link will be in the show notes. But, that's so one of the ways if you have been thinking about what other ways can I fund my business? One of them is through investing because it allows you to have access to money outside of what your business generates. So that's two. Third way to fund your business yourself is part-time entrepreneuring. Yes, you have to explore creative ways to bootstrap your business. You know, offer your skills or expertise as a freelancer or consultant to generate additional income while building your business on the side. This is what I did when I started the Budgetista. I also taught and I tutored, you know, and so that helped provide some fundamental base to pour into my business. You know, look for flexible job opportunities that allow you to devote time and energy to your business off hours. Because here's the thing that full-time entrepreneurship takes typically time to get to. Sometimes people are entrepreneurs and snobs. And I'm like, no, girl, like there's nothing wrong with having like Uber Eatsing. You know, there's nothing wrong with Instacarting. You know, also too, consider bartering goods and services. So in the beginning, I used to barter like, hey, I'll teach you, you know, I'll help you with your finding your budget. If you help build my website, you know, so bartering also too, in exchange for products or services to help you launch or grow your business. And so some of the part-time biz resources. So consider, like I said, looking for ways to make additional income. Kudos if you can actually make additional income on the side that helps to enhance your skill set. I'll give you an example. A friend of mine wanted to go into the retail space. She had like a clothing business, and she on the side used to work at T-Mobile. And at first I was like, girl, why are you working at T-Mobile if you want to have this clothing brand? She's like, I wanted to work to understand retail. And so she worked on the retail side of T-Mobile, like in the store, selling product. She wanted to be on the floor. What does it look like to have employees that sell well? What does it look like for merchandise to move? What does it look like to stock that? And she did that for 2 years. So she made extra money and she learned the retail side of a business. And I thought that was genius. So that part-time like a business model, like to make extra money on the side to fund your business while also learning something is like top tier. So look for examples and resources like Upwork, Freelancer, Fiverr, Guru, People Per Hour. These are places to make additional money on the side as you, and you use that money to then fund your business. Okay.
Hey, BA fam, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
So number four ways to fund your dream business, seek grants or contests. So you're going to want to explore opportunities to win grants, participate in startup contests, apply for small business competitions that offer funding, right? So I'll give an example. My grant person on my team just applied for this grant. It was a lot of work for like 1 week, and it will generate us about $250,000 just in the summertime. And then in the fall, additional income, and it's a 2-year grant. So you're looking at, on the low end, this grant will generate about maybe like $500,000, on the high end, maybe closer to $1 million. And she's working on another grant right now that will generate about $2.5 million if we get it. That's tremendous. $2.5 million on top of the $500,000 she's already generated us from grants. Now, here's the thing. If you're going to look at grants, you have to have underlying business fundamentals. What's your P&L? If you don't know what that is, don't apply for a grant, right? Your profit and loss statement. Do you have an accountant? Are your financials well organized? Because they're going to ask about that. What deliverables can you deliver? I have my online school, the Literature Academy. I've got like courses. So you know what I mean? So the thing about grants and even contests are you have to have the fundamentals of your business solidified. So many people couldn't get PPE loans. Why? Because they had not done their taxes in a number of years. And so when it comes time to actually get funding, people are not funding businesses without the underlying fundamentals. There's fund in fundamentals. Does that make sense? And so you need to get that together before you seek out these grants. Quite honestly, I feel pretty confident about the multi-million dollar grant because last year only one person applied for it because people didn't even know it existed and most people were not ready. That is an amazing way to fund your business because most people are not going to take the time to be ready. They think they have a business, they're just making money. It's not the same. Having a business is the fundamentals of your finances in order, your team structure in order. Do you have an org chart? Who does what when? You know, like that financial piece cannot be understated. Are you clear about your deliverables? What do you deliver to whom? Who is your audience? Sometimes it takes a couple years to get together, but grants can be an excellent way, you know, and contests can be an excellent way to make money for your business and a lot of work to get it together. And then it doesn't mean that the deliverable. So this is how tight I've gotten in business where like, we got the grant for the 250, right? So what's so great about that is that I have to basically teach, but I already put the APB out there earlier in the year to say, hey, if I have to have someone teach financial education in the state of New Jersey, are there teachers that are already teaching financial education? Y'all know I got that law passed making it mandatory for middle school students. So there's already financial education teachers. 70 people submitted their resume. So yo, we ready to go. Depending on however many classrooms want to hire us, I have 70 teachers ready to go. And I know exactly what I'd pay them per classroom, and I know I'd be earning. And the overhead is minimal at best. But do you see what happens when you're ready? You know, you can apply for things that are going to be a fit. You can make a tremendous amount of money with relatively low lift if you're ready. And so here's some things you have to consider if you're going to apply for grant and contests. You want to find opportunities by building strong networks, cultivate relationships with mentors, advisors, and other entrepreneurs who can provide guidance, support, and potential opportunities. The opportunity that I just got for this is because a friend of a friend was like, girl, have you ever heard of such and such grant? I said, no. And she said, you should apply for it. We looked it up and we did and we got it. You know, so that networking is going to be important. Also, some resources to consider: grants.gov. This is a comprehensive database of grants offered by various federal agencies in the United States. You can search for grants by keyword, agency, eligibility criteria. And so it can be competitive, but it's worth exploring, right? So also there are many state and local government websites. Many state and local governments, they're going to offer grant and financial assistance programs to support small businesses within their jurisdiction. So Google to look up these websites. So I would Google like New Jersey's Economic Development Agency, you know, or local Chamber of Commerce for, of commerce, sorry, for like Tennessee, you know, and city government websites to learn about available grant programs. And last but not least, you cannot sleep on your SBA. That is the Small Business Administration. They provide resources and assistance for small businesses for stuff like information about grants, funding opportunities. The SBA doesn't usually offer grants themselves. But they do provide, grants to, it does provide, it will provide grants to organizations that do support small businesses, if that makes sense. Like, so a small, you want to look up like a small business development center and a women's business development center. Like, though the SBA will provide grants for those organizations who will in turn help you. But like, it's work, but I'd rather do a week or two worth of hard work to make $2.5 million and then hire people to do the work that I've been contracted for than to grind away for life, you know? And so, just a quick recap, the four ways to self-fund your own business: generate revenue early, pre-sales, pre-orders. Okay. Be your own investment bank by learning to invest yourself. You know, if you're interested in learning how to do that, starting next week, budgetnistastockbonuses.com. All right. Three, part-time entrepreneuring. So working part-time on the side as you grow your business, ideally in something that's going to teach you something to enhance your own business. So you get paid to learn. And four, seek grants and contests, but you have to have solid business fundamentals in place. You know, you don't have to be perfect, but they're going to ask for this paperwork in a timely manner. And so you want to have that stuff ready already. So here is another question I get all the time when it comes to business. This question is, Budgetnista, how do I pivot? So I was fortunate. So if you listen to the Wednesday show, you know that I was fortunate enough to go to this really intelligent young man. His name is Donald Miller. And he wrote this book called Story Brand, along with a whole bunch of other books. But he is like one of the big thinkers in business. And so I won, like my team and I won a half day session with him, which is really great. And one of the things why we needed to go meet with him is that I'm seeing a shift in business, and I want to make sure that what I'm seeing, one, I was like, is it real? Am I really seeing this shift? And how do we pivot? Ideally, you don't even want to pivot. You want to pre-pivot. Pre-pivot means that, like, typically you have to pivot in business when something happens and then you have to adjust. Ideally, you don't want to have to adjust to external happenings. You want to adjust internally because you see something is coming. Does that make sense? I'm going to say that again for those of you in the back. So ideally, the pre-pivot says, huh, I notice a slowdown in this in the marketplace that I'm in. People don't seem like, I can see that everybody used to wear heels, but if I look at like my cousins in high school, they're wearing heels less and less. And I feel like, although like I'm in the, you know, right now the girlies are still wearing their heels, but I sense that eventually when these kids get older, they're not going to be the heel gang. They're not going to want to wear heels. Let me start to do something now to internally shift, so we are ready for when that shift actually comes externally. That's the pre-pivot. To pivot, at least for me, is when all of a sudden those kids grow up and they're not wearing heels. They're like, oh my God, our heel sales are down. We need to do something now. That's pivoting. And ideally, and some people don't even pivot. They see that people are not wearing heels and they're like, ah, it'll pass. And then they become Blockbuster and Netflix takes over. You don't want to do that at all. So what you really want to do is pre-pivot. So I've noticed some things in my industry that there is a slowdown, and Donald confirmed those things. And then, so we are currently in pre-pivot mode of the underlying business that I'm in is certainly still teaching financial education, especially to women of color, right? That's still the underlying business, but how we do so is going to be pivoted tremendously. That will still be of service to all the women, but it'll look a little different. And I'm excited about that. And I'll share that as we start to roll things out. So how do you pivot in business? Well, one, it is important that you're not always working on your business, you know, or you're not always working in your business, that sometimes you're working external. So it's like, imagine your business as your home. And if you're inside the house all the time, fixing all the water leak and we do need to be inside the business sometimes, but it doesn't allow you to step up and be like, wait, a storm is coming. Is that a hole in my roof? Oh my gosh. Is the swing on the outside loose? Because then you don't get to really see what's happening holistically to your house. So it is important that you take time to pull yourself out from working in your business, to pull yourself out and to look around and say, the neighborhood in general is looking like this. I'm noticing that everyone is switching to this type of lawn. I'm noticing that the street, you know, needs to be paved. I'm noticing that, like, you know, we're flooding a little bit more. Is something happening to the park next door? Does that make sense? That in order to pivot properly in business, that you have to take time to pull yourself out from working on it hands-on day to day to kind of holistically take a look around, you know? And when you do that holistically take a look around, then it allow you to say, I notice a trend is coming. Like, everyone is switching over to this type of siding. I wonder why. Let me ask questions. Oh, because wood is starting to rot in this community. What can I do? Or I notice that everyone is taking out their oil tank in front. Why? Because the oil tanks are starting to leak. Oh my gosh, what do I need to do? Does that make sense? And so, like, pulling yourself out, observing the external components of your business and the industry at large, and then hypothesizing of the direction you think it's going in. If you're not sure, that's okay, because that's why you build network. What do you see that's happening? You know, you start to ask people in your network who are in similar businesses or not even, like, you know, like, what do they see happening? Because some people are a little further ahead than you, and they can see the forest for the trees. And so that's why I'm constantly asking questions. And I'm like, there is a shift in this space. Okay, what do I see happening with my community about what they're really asking for? What are the people that I network with saying that they're seeing happening and adjusting to that? And so the way you really pivot is to, one, understand that the business that you're in is not always going to be the business that you're in. I think I told the story about Steve. I don't know if it was to y'all. I told the story about Steve Jobs. An executive, Jimmy Iovine, I think he was like CEO, or if he might still be, of Interscope Records, rolled up on Steve Jobs, was like, yo, you cannot put a CD burner into this new MacBook Pro. Like, the girls are already like streaming music and we're losing money. If you put a CD burner, they're not going to buy CDs. And what Steve Jobs told him, he said, no business model is meant to last forever. Basically, child, like, even if I don't do it, the girls is going to burn CDs. So you're going to try to fight against progress or get ahead of it. Anyone who fights against progress, like, oh no, I don't want to do that. Okay, well, girl, if you don't get ahead of it, then you're going to be left behind. And so understanding, one, the business model that you're in now is going to eventually shift. Everyone shift. Whether you're Disney, Lord and Taylor, if everyone has to pivot and shift multiple times in their business career, that's just how it goes. You know, you're not doing anything wrong. Disney of 1960s does not look Disney of 2024. If Disney has to pivot and shift, so do you. That's just how it goes. So release that, like, I must be doing something bad. No. One, understanding that everybody has to pivot and shift. Two, spend time outside of your business looking around and asking questions. What is happening in the industry at large? And identify some trends. And then look in your industry and identify the trend forward. What do I see based upon my expertise of working in this space and people that I've talked to of where we're moving toward? And then that's number three. And then number four, to start to work on the new thing while maintaining and milking. That part is critical. So if you think I'm going to shut down my business and the business model, no, I'm going to do what it requires for maintenance and milking. I'm going to squeeze as much money as I can out of our current business model until I can't anymore while building the new model. You know, that's still within the framework of financial education. So by the time this is down, the new model will have matched in money for money. I'll have made the most I could have here. This new model, because I've given a year or two to get strong, will be ready to go. And it will be into a new business model. That maintaining and milking is critical. And then the last but not least is to repeat again, look outside your business. Understand that the model is going to have to change because nothing stays the same. Take a look around and say, what, you know, where do I see the trends going externally, internally? Maintain and milk what you're currently doing while simultaneously building the new thing. And that is how you pivot for success or don't, you know, get stuck in a thing, wait too late and everybody has surpassed you. I hope that helps. I love when we have business day. Do you like when we have business day? Y'all don't be asking me no business questions. Ask them. I love answering business questions. Yeah. Like I said, you know, if you want to be my mentee, my mentor, Tiffany.com. Yeah. Until next week. Will I be here next week? I will. Until next week, we will see you on the BAQA. Oh, don't forget, please leave us some reviews, you know, because we love a good review. We read them. You don't know. Mandy knows how to look them up. We read them. Leave us a review. If this was helpful, especially if you have somebody in business, forward this episode to them and say, girl, Tiffany was reading us for filth over here when it came to business. And let me lay it down for y'all. You know, I've been in business for 15 years, have made just about $50 million in business in that 15 years. And really in the last eight, I would say most of that money was made. I've got a podcast business. I had a marketing business, an influencer business, you know, best-selling New York Times best-selling books, self-published books, online community, online school. I've had businesses in a wide range of things. Physical, service, product, and we've had success in just about all of them. And I've learned some things. So, you know, I'm here. So ask your questions, honey child. Okay. Talk to you next week, y'all. Bye.
The Bigger Pockets portfolio of podcasts are worthy of your investment.
We're having a real conversation as real estate investors.
New episodes available every day.
It's important to buy where it makes money and not necessarily where you want to travel to.
Bigger Pockets, On the Market, Rookie Real Estate, or Money Podcast.
The purpose of flipping is to create more cash so then you can reinvest into other types of properties.
The Bigger Pockets podcast on YouTube or wherever you listen.